Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, and I'm going to be flying solo once again. Jabron has taken some time, some deserved time. It's the holidays, after all, wrapping up a huge weekend of New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, Christmas, all that good stuff. And we're going to start things off with what I'm going to call the recap. We're going to take a look back. Before we go ahead, we're going to take a look back at some of these bowl games, how they all panned out, who were the big winners, who were the losers. And of course, we're going to dive into, you know, ATS against the spread, how these teams fared, and what to look for moving forward, as now we're having some semifinals matchups being brought to the forefront in the college football playoff. And what a fantastic playoff it's been. It's caught a lot of shade, you know, with the 12 teams, and it should be this, it should be that. But man, we have seen some great matchups as of late and some fantastic games. Instant classics on January 1st there. Texas, Arizona State comes to mind. And like them, love them, hate them, Ohio State took care of business. My goodness, we'll get into all those numbers and how that all played out. But first, I think we need to take a look back at the Pinstripe Bowl, right? Nebraska coming through in a big way, securing a winning record for the first time in a very long time, 7-6. The game was in doubt there for a little while, but Nebraska's offense was able to make some plays down the stretch. They did have a couple turnovers there, but were able to overcome those turnovers and secure a victory in the Pinstripe Bowl. And it was cold, a little windy, but overall, everyone that I've talked to or I've seen said it was a great time in New York. It was a good atmosphere, all those things. And hey, we came away, Nebraska came away with a bowl victory, which haven't been able to say we've been to a bowl game in a very long time. So we got to feel pretty good about all of that. This line opened up at -3.5 for Nebraska. It did see some movement. All Nebraska football games see some movement on that point spread. However, it closed at 3.5 on most books, and Nebraska got the cover. I know a lot of people I was talking to were skeptical of Nebraska being able to even win this game, let alone covering over a field goal. Well, those people that had faith in the Big Red were paid off, as Nebraska was able to cover a 20-15 victory, covering that by 1.5-2 points there. The total was a very popular bet, opened at 45.5, got bet up, believe it or not, got bet up to 47.5. All the early weather reports and everything we're hearing out of New York, I thought would have led a lot of people to bet the under, and the under did smack. That was a -115 bet when it came down to it. So I just thought and we talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago, just the early weather reports and just being in New York that time of year. And we've seen that throughout a lot of these bowl games, where weather was going to be a factor. The under was the bet. And this total actually got bet up 2 points from where it opened. I was a little surprised with that. I just think a lot of people are keyed up and we're looking for another one of those offensive explosion type games. That just wasn't going to be the case. Of course, the Husker money line at -175 also hit. A couple of things to walk away from this season for the Huskers. Yes, they ended with a 7-6 overall record, but they're also pretty good against the spread, ending the season 7-4-2 against the spread. So you could have hooked your wagon up to Nebraska and you would have nearly doubled your money with a couple of pushes there. But 7-4 against the spread, pretty good for a team that, you know, as we've seen with Nebraska over the past few seasons, up and down. But against the spread, the old Huskers were solid throughout the entire season. Just looking back at this game, you had to feel really good for Emmett Johnson, Ramir Johnson, the two running backs. Great games. Jamal Banks picking up the slack where Nair decided not to play. He didn't suit up. So Banks, 4 receptions, 79 yards, couple of huge catches in the second half. And Dylan Raiola, solid game, solid performance. 22 of 30 for 224 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But when it mattered most, he came up with some big plays. Showed some grit. On the other side, Boston College put up a heck of a fight, tallying 13 points in that fourth quarter, but it wasn't enough. And it felt that way that there was a point there where Nebraska was just so far out in front early in that third quarter. It felt like no matter what happened, Nebraska was going to win. But it's all the block punt. Special teams came to play once again, but credit the Huskers for holding on. Alrighty, let's move on to one of the quarterfinal games, the Rose Bowl. You had Ohio State taking on the Oregon Ducks in a rematch. Such a fantastic game first time around out in Eugene. The Ducks were able to hold on to a 1-point victory. Odds makers set this the other way around, with Ohio State being a 1-point favorite when this opened up. That got bet up to 2.5. 2.5, Ohio State was your favorite with a total of 54.5. Wow, what a performance by the Buckeyes. That first half, they just blitzed the Ducks. If it wasn't for a very late touchdown and a 2-point conversion, the Ducks' offense would have been blanked in the first half. Meanwhile, you had Ohio State scoring 20 points in the second quarter, 14 in the first. More than covered. Final score 41-21. Ohio State just basically had to play keep away in the second half. Total domination. Will Howard, the former Kansas State quarterback, 319 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 17 of 26. Just a fantastic game. Outdueling Dylan Gabriel over there for
The Oregon Ducks, he had a fine game too, just not the game that Will Howard had for Ohio State. And man, did their offensive firepower. Yes, they flexed big plays, explosive plays early on, but that defense just not allowing Oregon to do anything. That was amazing. It really was. So everybody that hopped on Ohio State and got paid off. They covered the spread. Total smacked the over. Easily got there, courtesy of Ohio State. All right, let's take a look at the verbal Fiesta Bowl. Penn State 31-14 over the Boise State Broncos. This line opened up at 11-11. Penn State was your favorite. And it didn't move much. I think the closing line on a lot of books was 11.5, and Penn State covered. There was a moment there in the second half where you felt, okay, the cover might be out the window, but Tyler Warren, the big tight end, a couple of touchdown receptions, paved the way there. Drew Aller, the quarterback for Penn State, had a fantastic, well, I don't want to say fantastic game, but an efficient game. 13-25, three touchdowns, no picks, 171 yards. And Penn State, man, they have been just taking care of business throughout these playoffs. And I'll tell you what, yes, they're 13-2 overall, but they're only 8-7 against the spread. So I wasn't going to say too much about the folks that were thinking Boise State could cover, especially when this got bet all the way up to 11.5. However, the Nittany Lions, you know, much like Ohio State, got out to that early lead, and the Broncos just could not get on track. And it was the defense. It was these two Big Ten defenses that really supplied the difference, in my estimation. That's where it was at. Okay, let's take a look at the game of the day on January 1st. That was the Texas Longhorns against the Arizona State Sun Devils. This line opened up with Texas being a 12.5 point favorite. Got bet up slightly to 13.5 on a lot of books out there. And for a while, it looked like Texas was going to cover, didn't it? I mean, their offense was cooking in that first quarter, but then Arizona State had a frantic fourth quarter comeback, and then for a little bit there it looked like Arizona State had them on the ropes. Then you had, I mean, this game had everything. Missed field goals by Texas down the stretch. Gabo that 30 carries, 143 yards, two touchdowns, eight receptions, 99 yards, couldn't get him that one more yard. The big bruising running back for Arizona State. What a game he had. But Quinn Ewers, quarterback for Texas, showed you why he is still the starter out in front of Arch Manning. 20 of 30, 322 yards, three touchdowns, one pick, and then a couple huge fourth down plays down the stretch late in the fourth quarter. Just amazing plays. A 28-yard touchdown pass to Matthew Goldson. Just crazy how Texas was able to force overtime. Get into overtime, obviously pushed it. Easy cover with that over 52.5 hit. And the Texas money line at -500 also got you there. Let's take a look at what this all is going to line up right now. So now we have the quarterfinal. We have the semifinals coming up. That's going to be Texas taking on Ohio State. And, of course, Penn State's waiting on the winner of the All-State Sugar Bowl. Obviously, that game has been postponed due to the tragedy that took place early in the morning on Bourbon Street. Number 7 Notre Dame is going to be taking on Georgia. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get there. But thoughts and prayers are with everybody that's been impacted with that tragedy that took place there. Getting back to the here and now. Taking a quick look at the Cotton Bowl, I like Ohio State. Yes, they're your 6.5 point favorite, but still under that touchdown, that offense, just big plays galore, where it felt like Texas might have been a little too reliant on the big play offensively. Ohio State would get those big yard chunk plays, but then were able to play keep away in the second half, showing you another dimension to that offense against a very good opponent. Oh, just the number one team ranked in the nation, that being Oregon. Texas, on the other hand, had their struggles, right? could not cover against the Big 12 champion Arizona State. For all those, I know this game is in Texas and it is the Cotton Bowl, but I like Ohio State early on here. Things might change. We'll have to run that by Jabron when we get him back. But right now, that early money is pouring in on Ohio State, and I tend to agree with it. Well, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stockton Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
His workout and it runs
10 and 2 85% weekend. You're a mutant.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, and I'm going solo this week. Jabron's still getting some holiday season off, even though we are well into 2025. I mean, it's January 2nd already here, but that's okay. You know, Jabron, with all those parlays and all those picks and plays, you know, it gets to be taxing. So get some rest, take some time, but next week we're going to be getting into it with the NFL playoffs and, of course, the college football playoffs, which have been really good theater so far. And as we just talked about in the last segment, a lot of ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster for sports bettors, to say the least. Now, let's get into week 18 of the NFL. A lot of divisional matchups here. Not too much drama, but there's a little bit out there. And we're going to start with the Saturday matchup of the Cleveland Browns taking on the 11-5 Ravens. Browns have been out of the playoff picture for quite a while now, only 3-13 overall. Ravens, they have punched their ticket. They are in the playoffs. However, they are not a lock to win their division. Now, there are a 95% chance they'll win their division, but you know that other Saturday game, which we will get into, Bengals versus Steelers? Steelers have a 5% chance to win the division. Yes, a lot of a crazy goofiness things have to happen, but we've seen it before in the NFL, and we've seen it before with the Steelers and this division. Hey, a lot of people are counting the Steelers out entirely this season, and here they are nipping at Baltimore, not allowing Baltimore to really flex and put away that division. They're going to probably get it, but that's where the intrigue comes in for this game. Baltimore versus Cleveland here to wrap things up in Baltimore. Line opened up at 18.5. 18.5 in an NFL game, divisional game at that. It's been bet down slightly. Most books have it at a square 18 right now. That total hasn't moved much either. It's at 41.5. Money line, don't even look at that. Minus 2,000 for Baltimore. I'll tell you right now, on the surface, I like to take dogs in this spot in the NFL. Whenever it gets up around 10, 11 points, over two scores in the NFL, that's just so many points. But in this spot, Cleveland has lost their last five games, and they're averaging losses around that 18-point mark. Last week, Miami beat them 20-3, beat them by 17. A team that really has nothing to play for in Miami was able to just smash the Browns. And Baltimore, I know they're going to have a lot of guys, you know, resting up, and they put themselves in position to do that. However, it just feels like no matter what they roll out there, they're going to handle Cleveland. They're going to beat them in a big way, send a statement, and also they have to secure this game. They can't allow for any funny business, which could happen, probably won't, but it could happen. Therefore, I like Baltimore covering this crazy big spread of 18, and I don't usually say that. I don't usually feel good about it. I'm going to pinch my nose and take that one there, but if I had to bet this, it would be Baltimore. All righty, let's move on to the next Saturday game, another AFC North matchup, Cincinnati, now 8-8, and you just feel bad for Burrow having one of those MVP type of seasons, but he doesn't have the wins to show for it. Taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, they are 10-6 with a slight 5% chance to win this division. Obviously, Pittsburgh has to take care of business up front and beat Cincinnati before any of those things can happen. And right now, Pittsburgh is your 1.5 underdog. Pittsburgh's your underdog here at home with so much on the line here. This line actually opened up with Cincinnati being a 2.5-point favorite. So you do have money coming in, majority of the money coming in on Pittsburgh, but not enough to flip the point spread or put the Steelers out in front. You know, I get it where people have lost faith in the Steelers a little bit, losing their last three games. But I mean, come on, it's the last three games have been to Philadelphia, Baltimore, and the Chiefs. And nobody was impressed with the way they performed against the Chiefs. But the Chiefs do that to everybody. They give you a little bit of hope, and then they take it away from you. But really putting it on the Steelers, 29-10 last time we saw the Steelers out there. So I get it. I can see some of that. And Baltimore, you know, they've been playing much better. They've won four of the last five. But that last loss, I know it was a month ago, but it was to Pittsburgh, 44-38. So that makes you also kind of look at this total here at 48.5. You're thinking, how can't these two teams get to that total when each of them nearly got to that total on them by themselves last time they played? What has changed? Well, okay, Bengals, as usual, you have Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Chase Brown, all these guys are questionable, but I think they're all going to play. Excuse me. That's just kind of the way Cincinnati has always done it. It's tough to keep Joe Burrow healthy when he's running for his life on every single play. I don't know. I get it. I see where everybody's coming from, but I like the home dog. All season long, throughout the season, I've been leaning on those home dogs. And I'm going to do it again here. I like Pittsburgh. I like their outside chance to fuel the fire just a little bit here to win the division and kind of steal a win in the playoffs. They have already made the playoffs, so that pressure's off. But if they could just luck out and win the division, that would be huge for the Steelers. And I know it's probably not going to happen, but it's there. It's on the table. It's just crazy to think that. All right, let's move on up to a noon kickoff on Sunday. Another divisional game here with kind of a lopsided. You would have thought it would have been a lopsided point spread, but it's not. So what's going on? Let's figure it out. Buffalo Bills are heading on up to New England to take on the Patriots, where they're only a 2.5-point favorite. The Buffalo Bills, 13-3, are only a 2.5-point favorite against the Patriots, who are 3-13, 1-6 at home, 1-6 straight up at home. You also look at, okay, what have you done for me lately? The Patriots have lost their last five games, and in blowout fashion most of the time. Chargers, 40-7 last time they were out. Oh, but wait, the game before that, at Buffalo, giving the Bills a scare, 24-21. So the Bills could only beat the Patriots by three. You also have to think the way the playoff picture has panned out. Buffalo has secured their division. They have won the division. There's no funny business can happen here. They have locked it up. And they're also amongst the odds-on favorites to make the Super Bowl. So they got that first round bye. That puts them in a good spot. So there you go. That's what's going on here. Bills are going to be resting a lot of guys. Patriots, on the other hand, a lot of guys are hungry, trying to make next year's roster. However, Drake May is questionable. So this is a tricky game. This is one of those deals where, okay, how motivated are the Bills going to be to play this game? Do they really want to limp into the playoffs coming off of a loss? And how hungry is New England? And even if the Patriots are hungry for a victory and those young guys want to get out there and make their case, they've lost their last five games. Whether it's been blowouts, close, doesn't matter. 1-point loss to Indianapolis 4 or 5 weeks ago, that comes to mind, 25-24. But it doesn't matter. They're still losing games here. So do you really think they can hold on and lose by less than a field goal to the Bills? Well, yes, they can. Yes, they can. And the last time out when they played the Bills in Buffalo, New York, they only lost by 3. So that's already inside that number. However, I like the Bills. All that to be said, I like the Bills going on the road. They want to keep their momentum heading into these playoffs, and they also want to send a statement. How many years have the Patriots just dominated that division under Tom Brady and Belichick? Now it's time for some payback. Bills want to keep that win, their winning ways. They've won 4 of the last 5. Only lost that thriller to the Rams, 44-42. Boy, that was a lot of fun. Give me the Bills here by covering that 2, 2.5, depending on where you're looking. All right, let's take a quick minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company, world-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to the WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'll be joining you today. My name is Andy Klassen. For this fine Thursday, January 2nd, and we have been treated to some fantastic football as of late. College football playoffs have been a lot of fun. Not so many blowouts in the second round, and I think there'll be fewer in the semis as well. We talked about that in the first half, and obviously we're going to be talking much more about the Sugar Bowl when that does come to be. So if you haven't given us a follow on the social medias yet, look us up, because Jabron is very active on social media and loves to share those picks, those parlay plays, anything and everything in between. For the here and now, let's look forward to the NFL Week 18. Now, Week 18 is tricky, right? Because you have some teams that have already got their playoff spot locked up. Doesn't allow for any movement, so there's no incentive for them to play their starters, wanting to nurse some guys back to health. But then you also have teams that are just fighting for their life. They have an outside chance to make the playoffs, and maybe they're a matchup against a team that's better than them, but they're playing a team that doesn't have anything to play for. So there's a lot of fun factors that you just don't see any other week in the NFL. Usually you just have, you know, talent versus talent. You got to measure it up, home away, those type of things. Here you have a whole nother wrench thrown into the system that you have to account for. So with that in mind, we're going to take a look at a noon kickoff, another divisional game, and this is a fun old rivalry. The Washington Commanders heading on to the Big D to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys, 2 games under .500. They were kind of a trendy pick early preseason to even make the Super Bowl. That just wasn't the season the Cowboys had. But and then on the other side of that, the Commanders weren't expected to do anything but give him their flowers. Daniels, the quarterback, has shined. Boy, he's a lot of fun to watch. For folks that hadn't been watching him, I think a lot of them had a chance this last week against Atlanta, that 30-24 overtime victory where Daniels just had a fantastic game. Big moments. On the season, he has 3,530 yards through the air, 25 touchdowns to only 9 interceptions, and he is a weapon with his legs. On the other side, Dak Prescott went down, and he wasn't having the season he'd hoped up to that point anyway, so just two complete opposites here as far as where these teams were expected to go, what they're expected to be, and how the season actually played out. So right now, if you look at the NFC playoff picture, Washington's in. They have secured a spot, and they have no chance, though, to win the division. Then you have Dallas, who's out. They have no chance whatsoever to make the playoffs right now. So you have two teams just kind of waffling here. However, this is a divisional game, so there's still going to be a lot of emotion. Washington opened up as a 3.5-point favorite. That has been bet up to 5. Still a kind of a goofy number there. More than a field goal, less than a touchdown, and a PAT. I like Washington. I like Washington covering this. Dallas just has too many question marks on offense. And then it was pretty uninspiring what we just saw against another divisional foe in Philadelphia last week, a 41-7 blowout loss for Dallas. And I just love the way Washington has been playing as of late. They've won 4 of their last games in a row. They also have a victory over Philadelphia, 36-33. I know it was at home, but they still were able to take down the Eagles. So it shows you their pedigree. Washington's also a lot younger. I think you have two teams maybe going in different directions on a couple of different fronts here. So I like Washington to cover that. That total was open up at 45.5. Now it's been bet down to 43.5. I get it. I'm going to sidestep that. I don't even want to look at this total. It's just right there. It's both of these teams average around that 21-20 point mark week in and week out. Washington can get explosive. We've seen it. But these divisional games, just too much funny business going on there. I think your best bet on this is Washington to cover. However, I don't like how it's creeping up to that key number of 6. I'll get in on early if I were to do so. All right, let's move on to the, we're going to stay in the NFC East. Another game here, well, there's a lot of factors. Philadelphia Eagles hosting the New York Giants. This game opened up with the Eagles being a 3.5-point favorite. It's been bet down. The Eagles are only a 2.5-point favorite, which you can understand why. They have locked up their spot in the playoffs. They have locked up the division. And Saquon Barkley has an opportunity to go for the all-time rushing record. However, they're going to sit him out. They're not going to let him go for this record. So you kind of see, and Jalen Hurts is questionable, so they probably won't suit him up or let him play too much. So you see the motivation is just not there for the Eagles. It's just that, do you really put a lot of faith in Drew Lock for the Giants? Hey, maybe you do. We've seen some bright spots. I mean, he did just put up 45 against Indianapolis in a victory last week. Okay. So, it's just that, doesn't this rivalry mean a little too much, though? I just feel like Philadelphia at home opening up 2025, they don't want to open up the new year with a loss to a team that's only won 3 times on this season. And I'm getting it under a field goal? Come on. Eagles can do that, right? Yes, they can. This total is pretty low as well. 37.5 is what it's been bet down to. You know, at first glance, I know it sounds like it's a little low, to be taking that under, but this might be a spot where I do like the under here. I know that the Giants scored 45 points last week, but before that, their offensive output has been very, very bad, and the Eagles' defense is very, very good. I think that leads you to a comfortable, low-scoring victory for the Eagles. Give me the Eagles. Give me the under. All right, let's move on to the NFC North, and we're going to talk more about the NFC North coming up here, but I want to take a minute to talk about my Chicago Bears and the season that just wasn't ever meant to be. They were a hot pick, kind of a trendy pick early in the season. I had a tough time buying into it, and it looks like I was right against not liking my Bears too much here. They are 0-7 on the road this year, and they're going to Green Bay to take on a divisional favorite here in the Packers, who are 6-2 at home. The Packers are a 10-point favorite. This line opened at 10. It has not moved at all, and I think it is right where it needs to be. Half the money's coming in on Chicago, half the money's coming in on Green Bay. But everyone agrees that Green Bay is going to score, or is going to win by 2 scores. I totally agree with that. Last week, Green Bay had a thrilling game against another divisional foe in the Vikings. Lost that one 27-25. But I thought that told you more about the Vikings and that they are for real. Everyone was waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Vikings. Not the case. Green Bay maybe playing a little bit better than what a lot of folks had them pegged at. But it's Green Bay. That's what they do. Aside from a couple of seasons here and there, they are very, very consistent. They've been consistent in the NFC North, and they've been consistently beating up on my Chicago Bears year in, year out. Jordan Love looks like the real deal. And let's take a look at that NFC playoff picture. Okay, so here we go. Green Bay is in. 3 teams from the NFC North are all in the playoffs. However, they have 0% chance of actually winning the division. So their motivation might be waning a little bit here, but they still get a beat up on the Bears and a little tune-up before they head into the playoffs, which I believe they will do so. Just maybe not by 10 points. I think Chicago has a lot of young guys that need to make a case to keep stay on that roster and put something on film for the next coaching staff that's going to move in. Because I do believe it's going to be a clean sweep, new faces in a lot of those positions for Chicago's coaching staff. So I don't like Chicago on a lot of fronts, but I like them to cover here. The real intrigue comes from Minnesota and Detroit, because that who wins the division is still up in the air. Minnesota has a chance, a good chance, to earn that first round bye. Detroit's thinking, we had the best season ever, and we still can't just get rid of the Vikings, who weren't expected to do anything. So, yes, there's a lot of intrigue in the NFC North. I just wanted to take a quick moment and take a look at this game, because it was another one of these point spreads that's got stretched out. Yes, it makes sense, but you dig into it a little bit more. I like Chicago going on the road. It's not that they have anything to play for this season, but it's a lot of guys playing for a contract for next season. Yes, the Bears have lost their last 5 games, and they have been ugly. After only losing by 3 to Detroit about a month ago, 23-20, they lost a 3 to the Seattle last week, 6-3. So Chicago shows you that there's a time or so up against it, but real quick, Chicago shows you that they can consistently lose in a number of ways. I think they're going to lose again here, but they're going to be inside that 10 points. Give me the Bears. All right, you heard the horn. That means we're up against it. But real quickly, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. I had my fair share of their products over this holiday season and into the New Year's. Nebraska Brewing Company, world class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
WTL.
All right, nice, huh? Got a talk show here, talk show with my mic. I got everything.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm here, Andy Klassen. And I'm riding solo here. Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, we're giving him some time off here. Had a very good new year, and happy new year to all of you out there. Just what a fantastic time of the season. Really have enjoyed the college football playoffs. I know there's a lot of questions going into it. And yes, there were some blowouts in the opening rounds, but that was to be expected, I thought. And but you can't argue with the matchups that we've been receiving here down the stretch. How much fun have they been? And we're going to be looking more into the Sugar Bowl when that time does come around. So if you haven't looked this up on the social medias, that being Twitter and YouTube, just type in WTL Sports Betting, and there we are at the top of the list. But we will have some picks and plays coming out once that game gets a little closer to kickoff due to the postponement. That tragedy unfortunately happened on Bourbon Street. Thoughts and prayers with everybody out there. You hate to see that. And then, of course, in Las Vegas with the Cybertruck being blown up in front of Trump Tower. Just some injuries there. No casualties other than the bomber himself. But once again, just real tough scenarios going on out there in some places around the world, here in the United States. And our thoughts and prayers with everybody that was impacted by that. But we got to get back into the here and now. And that is the NFL Week 18. Who's suiting up? Who's not suiting up? What do we got going on? So with that in mind, real quick here, I want to talk about the 49ers taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Now, this is a pair of teams at the bottom of the NFC West. San Francisco, who was picked to by a lot of people to win this division, is actually, they're going to end in last place here because the Cardinals opened this lineup as a 1-point underdog. It has totally flipped. They are a 4-point favorite now. A 4-point favorite. Neither one of these teams have anything to play for other than pride. But here's the deal. Brock Purdy is doubtful. San Francisco's leading rusher, Mason, is on the IR and has been for a while. You can say the same for the Cardinals, but I don't know with Connor being placed on the IR. But it just feels like the 49ers have packed it in. George Kittle is questionable. You also have Bosa, who's on the injury report as questionable. These are established players that are looking to take care of their bodies and get right for the next season. On the other side, you have Arizona with a lot of more younger guys that are looking to continue their ascension. They're playing well here. And I just think they have a chance here to knock off the 49ers. I wish I could have got on that line when they didn't eclipse that 3-point mark. Now it's at 4, but it still feels like this is a spot where Arizona can take advantage of the situation. Because this offense is different for the 49ers. When Purdy's not in there, it's just different. I like Arizona here. Just want to take a moment to really look at this. Because you don't always see that where not only does a game flip, but the favorite goes. We've seen a 5-point flip here. And not only that, but it's gone from Arizona being a 1-point underdog at home to a 4-point favorite now at home. It just how wild is that? That here's two teams sputtering down the stretch. Both teams have lost 4 of their last 5, and both their wins. San Francisco's only win in that time has been Chicago, and on the other side, the Cardinals' only wins have been against New England. So the toilet bowl is the NFC West. Just had to get my dig in there to the 49ers. A lot of 49er fans out there. Well, it came around quick, didn't it? That Super Bowl hangover, you could say. All right, now let's get on to a game that does have some intrigue and some things weighing in the balance. Divisional game here to wrap it up. That is in the AFC West.
The Kansas City Chiefs are heading on out to Denver to take on the Broncos, who are 9-7, 5-2 at home, and have won 3 of their last 5. But they have lost 2 of their last games. They're riding a 2-game losing streak, last one being an overtime heartbreaking loss to the Bengals in overtime. It was in overtime. Let's get into the metrics here. Okay, Denver was opened up as an 8-point favorite. You heard that right. Denver, an 8-point favorite at home against Kansas City. That line has been bet up to 10.5. And here's why. Patrick Mahomes is listed as questionable, and he probably won't play, or he won't play much. Pacheco's still nursing his injuries. He might play a little bit. They just got him back, but they want to protect him, and this is why they took their time and put him on the IR for much of the season. Kareem Hunt has done a fantastic job filling in as well. It just seems like Kansas City always has the ability to plug and play difference makers like that. But here's what we have going on. The Chiefs have already earned their bye, and they are your odds-on favorite to make the Super Bowl right now as well. So they've won the division. They got that first place bye. Here's where it comes into play though. Denver has a 64% chance to make the playoffs, but they have to win. They have to beat the Chiefs. So you know, Bo Nix, who I thought he might be the surprise of the season for me, stepping in and doing a pretty darn good job. Over 3,000 yards on the season, 25 touchdowns, only 12 interceptions. You see why Denver is your favorite. I just don't know if I like Denver over 2 scores here. I didn't even like where it opened up as 8-point favorites. I can see Kansas City giving this game away. They don't care. They're on a different level. And Denver has so much to play for here, making the playoffs with all these young guys. I like Denver to win. I just do not. I don't like them to cover here, do I? No. Now that it's been bet up to 10.5, more than a touchdown and a field goal, nope. You're 15-1 Chiefs. Even with Mahomes and company and all these guys taking a break, it doesn't matter. They're so talented, so well coached. They are not going to lay down. ESPN matchup predictor from ESPN Analytics still has the Chiefs with a 48% chance to win this game, to just win it outright. Okay, so the fact that they're 10.5 on most books, dogs, no, that's just not how the Chiefs go about it. Even when they're winning, and maybe they're not covering as much as one would like, they're still in control. They still don't let games get away from them. They keep the opponent at arm's length. You saw it even last week against Pittsburgh with that 29-10 victory. Just took control of the game. And then no matter what Pittsburgh was trying to do, Kansas City Chiefs and their defense, who I feel is just, wow, how good have the Chiefs defense been this season? Because that offense, that's what we talk about a lot, but it's really been the story's been the defense for the Chiefs. Fueled them to that victory, was able to stymie anything the Steelers, a good Steelers team, wanted to do last week in that 29-10 victory. And then on the other side, Denver, okay, what have you done for me lately? Last 2 weeks, 2 losses. I get it. They've had some impressive wins before that, but that was against Las Vegas, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. Okay, so now then when you play some teams with a little bit of metal to them, some teams that are vying for playoffs or, you know, maybe a cut above the the Raiders and the Browns, you have a couple losses. Not terrible losses, you know, just had the Bengals in overtime, but their losses nevertheless. So I get it. I can see why they're predicted to win this game and why they're the favorites. I just don't like this line getting up over 2 scores now, sitting at 10.5 on many books out there. So, yeah, give me Kansas City. Once again, covering. I do like Denver with the outright, though. That total's at 39.5. That has not moved at all. Usually I like the under. I like the under in this type of a spot. And I think it's going to be the under again, just because the Chiefs and that defense, they're just going to want to kind of run out the clock and keep everybody healthy. So you're going to see a lot of running of the football, especially from the Chiefs. And on the other side, Denver, they also have a pretty darn good defense. So I like the low scoring game here, kind of a back and forth, maybe a little bit of a pillow fight. Another reason that I like the Chiefs keeping it within that 10.5 mark. So if I had to look at that total, I'd go under. I also like the Chiefs covering. Now, let's get into the game that everybody's talking about, everybody's pointing to. Absolutely love what I've seen from the Minnesota Vikings this season, kind of outplaying what everyone predicted them to do this season. They moved on from Kirk Cousins. Then their young quarterback gets hurt. Got to insert Sam Darnold kind of on the fly right before the season kicks off. Kind of felt like the season was maybe even a throwaway. Not the case. The Minnesota Vikings, 14-2, 6-1 on the road, are heading on up to Detroit to take on the 14-2 Detroit Lions. What a story they have been. Now, let me look at the... I got to look at the playoff picture here. I want to get the numbers just right for you. Okay. Both teams, well, three teams from the NFC North have secured playoff spots. Detroit does have the inside track. They have a 65% chance to win this division. Minnesota has a 35% chance. Well, it all comes down to this game. So here you got some metrics upon metrics, super metrics. So that kind of gives you an idea that Detroit has a 65% chance to win this game and secure that opening round playoff. Boy, you have to like Detroit at home, don't you? You have to like Detroit at home for the outright. Detroit has gone on the road last 2 weeks, beat Chicago, beat San Francisco. But before that, at home, lost a shootout against the Buffalo Bills, 48-42. Detroit has dropped a couple games, only two, but they have lost twice at home. And they were able to go on the road and beat a very good Green Bay team last month as well, early in December. That was another one of those impressive victories, kind of a gut check type of win for Detroit. This line opened up at -3. Detroit is a 3-point favorite. 3-point favorite, and this line has not moved. Man, did the odds makers get this one right? And you understand why. As soon as you count out Minnesota, they just come up and they bite you. They bite you. They've been doing it all season long. This total has been bet up to 56.5. Ooh, it's getting up there. But I think I still like the over. These two teams, when these offenses get going, get cooking, they supply the points. Look at the last four games here for the Vikings. 42 points they put on Atlanta. 30 points they put on Chicago, 27 on Seattle, 27 on Green Bay. That's a good defense in Green Bay as well. And then Detroit, everybody knows about Detroit. Yeah, they just put up 40 against San Francisco, 42 and a loss to Buffalo. And that's a good defense, a really good defense there for the Bills. So I like, even though it's at 56.5 and has been bet up from 51.5, I still like the over. Call me crazy. I like the over. And if I had to look at that point spread, I probably like Detroit. Detroit holding on to that 3-point victory. Probably will be a push. Win by that field goal late. That's kind of been the MO here. And it's too much on the line here for Detroit. It's at home. Love Minnesota, and I could easily see them covering. But with this being a Sunday night, NBC, Peacock, everybody's going to be watching. It really is the game of the week. It's going to be back and forth. Vikings may have the lead in the fourth quarter, but Detroit could still come back and cover. We've seen that throughout the season as well. So you heard the horn. That means we're up against it. Give me Detroit. Love the Vikings. Really like the over, even though it's getting bet up in a big way. Well, that's going to do it for us here on WTL. Be sure to check us out on ESPN Tri-City Radio and their Facebook page. Always putting out short little videos there, going over our picks. We're also on X and YouTube. Give us a like, give us a follow, all those things. And we like to hear some chatter as well. We come out with different types of polls. And would you bet here? Would you bet high, low on our YouTube channel? Go ahead and throw some shade at us in those comments. I'd love to hear it. Even after the fact, after the game, still love to hear from you guys, letting us know where we got off track or where we might have missed one. My name's Andy Klassen, signing off here for WTL. Thank you all for listening once again.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.